If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we'll begin reading with verse 14. And by the way, sound room, I had no problem seeing. I just looked over the pulpit, so I don't know what he's talking about. So you all guys did fine. Do keep up the good work. Short people. Anyway, Matthew chapter 25. And we'll begin reading with verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went, and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he had that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came, and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. And enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And then I was afraid, and went and hid that talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast How hast that is thine? His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Father, we come before you thanking you for your word. Thank you for that we can hold a copy in our hands. We can read from it. We can study from it and hear it preached. And Father, we do thank you for our pastor. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to bless him, strengthen him, and meet his every need. And Father, we do pray that you, even as now, you, as he comes to preach to us, you will fill him with your power, with your spirit, and Lord, just flow through him and flow to each and every one that's listening. Father, whether we're here in person or by way of internet, and Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. Father, we're needy people, and we need your touch, and we need your strength, and we need your guidance. Lord, I just pray that you'll meet each and every need that's represented here tonight. And Father, just bless us, guide us, and help us to do the things bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Matthew chapter 25, as we continue our stewardship month, I want to speak to you on the subject of invest your life. Talked about money matters this morning, and we talked a little bit about this passage, but I want to come back to it tonight and talk about not just the money, but our life, investing our life. If you were to ask at the end of your life, was it worthwhile? How would you answer it? Was your life worthwhile? How do we really measure whether our life was a success or whether our life was worthwhile? I'd like to use this popular parable here in Matthew 25 tonight, the parable of the talents, to help us think through this question a little bit. Talents, strictly speaking, refer to money. Based on the context, what the master gave were large amounts of money that could be invested. But we can see it in a broader sense, a broader way tonight. If a talent is something that belongs to God and not us, and we would all agree to that, it is distributed to each according to his ability, according to verse number 15. Sometimes that can be invested on behalf of the master, and as a result, reap benefits for our master and not for the servant. Then we can understand that the talent can mean the resources or the opportunities that God has given us to use on his behalf. Whatever God has given us, whether it be money or talents or opportunities, we are to use it for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. How best can we use what God has given us, our master, for his glory? Well, we can do like one of the men did in the parable. We can bury it, and as a result, we can waste it. In other words, we just don't even use it. And you know, there are a lot of Christians who have talents, have abilities, have opportunities, and we don't use them for the glory of God. Sometimes they're just buried. We don't use them at all. Or we could spend it. We could use it for just exactly what it's worth. If it's worth $10, we could buy something for $10 for that amount. Or we could invest it, as two of the servants did in the parable tonight, and earn more from it than what we started with. And the same thing is true with our lives. We can waste our lives, or we can use our lives wisely to benefit others and to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants us to do, amen? He wants us to use our lives wisely. If we just spend it after 50, 60, 70, 80 years, however many years God gives us, we enjoy our time on earth without any significant gain from it, then the time is spent and it's gone, it's over. But the best thing we can do is invest our time. Invest it in things that will cause us to bring forth more fruit, you might say, than what we had to start with. In other words, am I with my life making an impact on those around me? Do I have an influence? Am I making a contribution to others in this world beyond myself? If we can do that with money, then we certainly ought to be able to do it with our life. There are five principles that I want to talk about tonight, taken from this parable, that will help us to invest our life in a way that counts. The first principle is understand ownership. Understand ownership. Believe that you have something. Look at verse number 14 in our text. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, notice he says he delivered unto them his goods. In other words, we all have something that's been given to us. You cannot make an impact in somebody else's life without understanding that God has given you something to make that impact with. Amen? This master gave to each of them something. God is the Lord of our life, and he works through our life. We're more than just human beings running around on earth. We are God's representatives. We are to be used of God to change lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we said this morning, everything we have really belongs to God. And so if everything we have belongs to God, then that means my life belongs to God. All that I have belongs to Him. And I'm to use my life for the glory of God, and to bless others that are around me, to bless all of those whom my life touches. Therefore, if we offer those things to the Lord, and including our life, then God can use us to do more than what we can do on our own. Amen? Remember that little song we sing sometimes? It says, little is much when what? God is in it. God can do more with us than we can do on our own. And God wants us to use our resources to change those around us, and in effect, to change our world. If the Lord says to us that we're to go and make disciples, we're to go and teach all nations, then that indicates that if I'm going to go and do something for the Lord, the logical conclusion is that God must give me enough to do what He's asked me to do. Amen? So whatever it is that God wants you to do, God gives to you the abilities, the talents, the tools, and even the finances to do whatever it is that He's called us to do. What we are given, we use it to do the job that God has for us. No wonder someone said, God's will never leads you where His grace cannot keep you. Someone else said, where God guides, He also provides. God doesn't call us to do something and then not enable us to do it. He doesn't call us to do something and then not finance it so that we can do it. Amen? And so we need to understand this principle of ownership. Believe that we have something. This man that is represented here in this 25th chapter represents the kingdom of heaven. He says the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, called his own servants, we are the servants of the Lord, and delivered unto them his goods. God has given to us his goods so that we can do whatever it is that he wants us to do. So there's the principle of understanding ownership. Second principle is understand allocation. Understand allocation. Believe that you have something, and then I added a word to that, believe that you have something unique. Look at verse 15. He says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. God has given to each of us something that we can use for his glory, and he allocates those gifts and abilities to us differently. He doesn't give us all the same gift. Amen? God didn't gift me to play the piano like Jessica and Sandra do. He didn't gift me to do that. He didn't gift me to sing like Angel did tonight. He didn't gift me to run the sound booth like the guys do back there. If I was running the sound booth, you all would be in trouble back there. Folks on the live stream would be burning up the phones back there, guys, telling you, "What? Fix this and do that." God doesn't gift us all with the same gifts. I'm some ways electronically challenged. I do good to be able to play the radio, you know, and that works. But we have different talents. We have different abilities. And so God doesn't expect all of us to do the same thing. He says that he has given to us every man according to his several ability. Now, why does God treat us differently? Pretty logical, pretty easy, because we are different. Amen? And thank God we are. Amen? We wouldn't want to all be the same. We wouldn't want to all be robots, be dittos, duplicates of everybody else. We're different. And because we are different, we have different abilities. We have different skill sets. We have different experiences. We have different maturity levels, and so on. There are some men, and ladies as well, who are positions of leadership in your company or on your job. And there are sometimes people who are beneath you who think, you know, I should be the leader, or I should be the one in charge. But oftentimes the one that is in charge is because God has given them some experience before that to enable them to do what they are doing. God has developed them and brought them to that place. I love to hear the little kids come in here and sing. Amen? And to see how God is developing them. But you know what? They're not where this choir is that sang up here tonight. They don't have the same experience and the same training. And some of us are at different places in our life, in our spiritual maturity, in everyday life and maturity. And so we have different areas of ability, different areas of experience, and God gifts us so that we can do different things for His glory. He's given us different skill sets in order to do what He has for us to do. So He gives us those abilities based on our ability to handle the resources that He has given us. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, it says, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Raku Yaki, and I'm not speaking in tongues, or Raku ware is a type of Japanese pottery that is traditionally and primarily used in the Japanese tea ceremony in Japan. Most often, it's in the form of a bowl, a tea bowl. It's traditionally characterized by hand molding of the clay as opposed to the turning of the clay on a potter's wheel, resulting in each piece being one of a kind. Each pot is hand-formed. The tag explained a process that allows the spirit of the artist to speak through the finished work with particular directness and intimacy. And so it is with you and me. We are molded, and we are to bear the imprint of the potter's hand. He made us just the way he wanted us to be. And we are each to reflect the creativity and the wisdom and the skill of our master. Each of us is formed in a unique way for a unique work. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see, God has given to us different kinds of gifts and abilities and talents and skill sets. And he has given to us different responsibilities. And so we don't have to look at one and say, "I can't do that," or "I can't do this," or "I wish I could do that." We can say, "I can do what God has gifted me and enabled me to do, and I can do it to the best of my ability for the glory of God." He gives different kinds of gifts, but it is the same Spirit that gives those gifts. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In fact, he tells us that God does that so that we complement one another and so that we can finish the task that he has given. He gives various gifts to the church and various people to the church so as a body we can fulfill the work that God has for us to do in the community and in the world. That diversity is critical to the accomplishment of the mission that God has for you as an individual and for us as a church. The diversity we see today in our churches is God's design. It is critical to the fulfillment of God's plan for the redemption of the world. It is not a sad thing, it is a good thing. It's a good thing that we're different. We need the diversity. We live in a diverse world, amen? And the diverse world needs diverse people. Let me say this also. Nobody is talentless. Nobody. We're given different portions, but no one is without any. The kingdom of heaven, as it's represented in verse 14, he calls his servants and delivered unto them his goods. He gave something to each of those men. And God has given to each of us a talent, an ability, something that we can use. So we are to invest our life the way God wants us to. We've got to acknowledge that he has given us the abilities, the opportunities, and the resources that he has not given to somebody else. And so when I look at somebody else and say, "I can't do what they can do, I can't sing like them, I can't play the instrument like them, I can't do whatever, but they can't do what I can do." Amen? God has something for each of us. And consequently, we are to do it for the glory of God. Understand that what God has given you, you can use it, and only you, to invest for the glory of God. Don't ever live in denial and think that God has not given you any talents. Don't live in neglect. Do not ignore what God has given to you. Use it for the glory of God. Don't be the steward who comes back and says, "Well, I just buried it." In a little bit, we'll see what God's response was to that. We're to invest it. We're to use it for the glory of God. Now, how can you even start to invest if you feel like you have nothing? Every one of us have something. Take a hard look at what you have and what God's given you and use it for his glory. There's a third principle. We're to understand utilization. Understand utilization. In other words, believe that you have something unique, thirdly, to contribute. God's given you something. Everybody has something. He's given you something unique just for you, and it's so that you and I can contribute. Look at verse number 19. It says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." The master expected the servants to use what he had given them, And God expects you and me to use what He has given us and to use it for His glory. All investors expect a return. Amen? And God has invested in us, and He expects a return. God will ask you one day, what did you do with what you were given? Burying your talents is not acceptable. While the other two invested their gifts and doubled their what the master had given to them, the third one, as you know, buried his. He didn't even get simple interest. He didn't even try. You know, I think God is pleased when we try. Amen? It's the principle of sowing and reaping. You reap only if you've sown. If you don't plant any seed, you're not going to get any harvest, are you? You're not going to get any crop. But if we sow, we will reap. And God will bless that which we sow, and He will bring glory to Himself, and He will use that which we sow for His honor and for good use and good results. That's why the master, his reaction was surprisingly harsh to this third man. He literally told him he was lazy. He was a wicked servant. And we might think, well, this guy, what he did wasn't really wicked. He just took it out and buried it. He didn't go anywhere near what we would think as wickedness. But Jesus said that was wicked. Why was it wicked? Because it was a great waste. More importantly, it showed the man had a lack of appreciation for what had been given to him. When we don't use our talents and our abilities and our opportunities for the Lord, it shows that we don't appreciate what God has given to us. It's like receiving a birthday gift and putting it in the closet, never opening it. God expects us sometimes to take risks. He expects us to use what He has given us. And when we use it, we can see what God wants to do with it, what God wants to do through us as we yield ourselves to Him. For God to do something through your investment, it's undeniable. He used two of these men, one 5,000, one 3,000. He used their investment. You see, there's no problem on God's side. He gave to all of them. His Holy Spirit is everywhere to work. He's given you and me talents and abilities, and He's also provided His Holy Spirit to enable us and to work through us so that we can do what God wants us to do. So when we use God's gift, we're actually giving ourselves the privilege of seeing God working through us. I don't know about you, but I'm thrilled when God works through me. I want God to use me. And I understand that it's not me. He gave me the abilities, and then His Holy Spirit gives me the power, and He works through me, and God gets glorified, and God gets praised through it, and I don't have to become prideful and boastful or think that I've accomplished anything. It's all about Him. It's like I talked about the other day about our parents give us money, you know, when our kids were little, we give them money to buy a birthday gift for us. We gave them the money, they go buy the gift, and we get the gift that we paid for to start with. Do you ever stop to think that everything we give to God, He gave it to us to start with? And since He gave it to us, we become channels. He gives to us, we give to Him, we give to others. And there's no room for pride as to say, look at what I did or look at what I accomplished. It's look at what God did. I'm just the channel. As a preacher, I think a lot of times of my position as a male man. Thank God I'm not a female man, amen? But you know what I mean, a mail carrier, right? I'm just delivering the mail. God gives the message, and I'm just the one, the channel through which He delivers it to you. So we're to understand utilization. Believe that you have something unique to contribute. And there's a fourth principle. Understand motivation. Understand motivation. Believe that you have something unique to contribute through faith. Through faith. Look at verse number 25. He says, "And I was afraid, and when it hid thy talent in the earth, lo, there thou hast, that is thine." It takes faith to do anything for God. Fear will stop you from doing whatever God wants you to do. What kind of fear do we deal with? What fear keeps us from doing what God wants? Well, one type of fear is self-doubt. We have self-doubt. We say, I don't think I can do that, or I don't think I can do it well, or I don't think I can make it. We have doubt about us. Remember, if God gave us the ability or the talent or the opportunity, God will empower us and He will enable us to do whatever it is He wants us to do. Amen? He's not going to ask you to do something He's not going to help you do. He's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do with His help. And so self-doubt is one of those fears that we face. Self-pity is another one. We get the idea, I only have one talent. Or I can't do what they can do. My talent is not as important. We get to think that my talent doesn't make a difference. And we get into this thing of self-pity. Poor little me. I'm not as important. I can't do as much. God gave you what you were intended to have and what He intended for you to have. Based on your abilities, based on your opportunities, based on your maturity, based on your experience, God gave us what we needed. And God gave us what we could use for Him. There's a third area of fear, and that is self-consciousness. Self-consciousness says that we worry more about what people think than what God thinks. We're worried about what people think about us. Now, all of us have a little bit of fear. I remember in speech class in college, they used to tell us that a little bit of fear is both natural and good. When you stand up to speak, you have a little bit of fear there. And some of you, when you stand up to speak, you have a whole lot of fear there. And sometimes when we attempt to do what God has enabled us to do or gifted us to do, there's a little bit of fear there. But don't become so self-conscious that you're more concerned about what others may think of you than you are about the fact you're doing what God wants you to do and it will bring glory to the Lord. Focus on Him. Not on people. Think more about God and what He thinks. Don't focus too much on yourself. Amen? Self-consciousness. God cares little about the mistakes that you and I make. He cares little even about the mistakes that we have made. He wants us to know that He will use us in spite of our mistakes to make a difference for Him. You know what I've found through the years? I have found that sometimes our greatest testimonies and sometimes our greatest message to others comes out of the failures and the mistakes in our life. Because God has a way of taking our failures and bringing glory to God. Now, that's not an excuse to fail, but it's an opportunity to trust God. I've had times when I've preached messages and I've left church thinking, nobody got it. I just didn't get it across. And somebody will say, preacher, that's just what I needed. God spoke to my heart today. You know what? I was focusing on me instead of focusing on Him. And if we'll let God work, we've had times through the years, and some of you probably can remember some times, we've had some services, Brother Mike, when everything went wrong. It just seemed like nothing went right. And you come down to the end of the service and somebody gets saved. God does something extraordinary and we stop and say, you know what, it wasn't about us anyway. It was about Him and about His power and our being willing to trust Him. Realize that we have something unique to contribute through faith. We trust the Lord. Faith means that we're daring to try. Faith means that we're willing to allow God to do His part. We're willing to try to take a step of faith in the Lord. You see, if you don't take risks, if you don't try, you don't need any faith. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. No wonder the master was unhappy with this third servant. He had no faith. He couldn't please God. Let me ask you a question. What risks have you taken with your talents that God has given to you? God would rather we fall flat on our face trying to minister for him than for us not to ever try at all. Put your faith in the Lord and trust him to help you to do what he wants you to do. And then the fifth principle is to understand returns. Understand returns. Believe that you have something unique to contribute through faith and be rewarded. Well, I like that last part, don't you? And be rewarded. There are returns. It doesn't sound fair about all of this story here, but that's all a part of investment. It's kind of like the NBA or the NFL. They draft players, and they expect to draft well so that those players will bring home the trophies for the team. When the season starts, you watch when the Reds start in the spring. Same thing's true with the Bengals. Well, might not be as much hope with the Bengals, but I'm not sure about the Reds either. But when the teams start the new year, what does everybody want to know? Who did they draft? Who are the new players? And you look at sometimes how much money they spent, and we say, nobody's worth that much money, right? But we want to know whether or not these new players are going to be worth the investment, right? Are they going to be worth the investment? And the ultimate measure of the player's success is whether or not he can contribute to the team and whether or not the owners will have a good investment. If you buy shares in a company and it's not doing very well, if that company's going bankrupt, you're going to get your money out of that company and put it somewhere else. If it's already doing well, what are you going to do then? You're going to put more money into it. Why? Because you want to get more money. You want to get a return on your investment. And that's why the one with 10 talents got more. God got a good investment, a return on his investment. The more successful you and I are in ministry, the more resources God will pour into our ministry so that we can continue to serve him. And when we are using all that God has given us, we'll find that we ourselves are receiving more from God. Look at verse number 23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You see, God rewards those who are faithfully serving him. He rewards them with affirmation. He rewards them with promotion. He rewards them with celebration. And these are dividends from our investment. God rewards us. And I'm thankful that he does. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't think you ought to focus on the rewards." Well, I don't think that ought to be our main focus, but I'm sure glad we get rewards. Amen? And if God didn't think it was important, he wouldn't have given them or mentioned it. And he gave us a very clear example of it to us here. These dividends that God gives. Imagine going to work one day and being greeted by your boss. And he comes to you as you come to work and he says, "Come by my office at 9:30 this morning and I'd like to talk to you about how you're doing your job." That could be a little nervous time for you, couldn't it? You think about what your supervisor or your boss might have to say. You wonder, how does my boss think I've been doing? Could there be a promotion, a pay increase, or could I lose my job? Am I going to hear him say, "Well done," or "You're done"? You know, it can cause a little bit of nervousness there. I want to tell you something. After this life is over, we're going to stand before God. And Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, he said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And we all want to hear our master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The challenge before us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ is to serve him with excellence. To take the abilities and the talents and the gifts and the opportunities and experience all that God has given to us and use it for his glory and be able to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Based on the way that you are living today, what kind of review will you get from your boss when you get to heaven? Remember, It's not based on what you have accomplished compared to everybody else around you. But it's based on what you and I have accomplished based on what He has given us. We take what He has given to me. The abilities, the talents, the gifts, the opportunities. And what have I done with His investment in me? Will He get a good return for His investment? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Father, would you help us as we take a little bit of time to evaluate our own lives, to look at the investments, the abilities, the talents that you've given. May we invest our life. May we not take the gifts and the talents and bury them. But may we hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You gave the same commendation to the man who had 5,000 and gained 5,000 more as you did to the one who gave 3,000 and gained 3,000 more. It's not in how much we did, but it's what we did with what you gave us. What our abilities are. Lord, there may be some here tonight that have convinced themselves that they have no ability. May we be reminded that you have given gifts to every single one of us. And may we develop them. May we invest them. May we use them so that we bring glory to you and so that we touch the lives of those around us. Make a difference in our own little world where we live. Make a difference for the glory of God. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.